Hearing God's voice, part three. Let's go on. Is this you, Jesus? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. This is a verse that we had on every week for the last 3 weeks. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. What this verse also tells us, and we're going to get to how complex you are as a human. You were made by God in a way that His voice or His instruction, His guidance and leadership comes to you in complex ways. It's more than just one way. It's more than just reading a verse and taking it and applying it. It is that and more. You are spirit, soul, and body. And when we yield our full self to Him, we hear His voice in all these parts of us. Sometimes emotions, sometimes memory. Then we are back at the Word and we are reading. And so there's many streams of communication that flows into your life. And we know that. We understand that if you've got children, sometimes I listen to omgekrap, né? And then you realize, oh, but they've been watching, you know, this specific TV show that's been teaching them to behave in a certain way. And you think they're just sitting there. Because, you know, you tell them they must have manners. They should listen. But we are influenced in complex ways by what is around us. The great thing about that is if we give ourselves fully to the Lord, we can be fully influenced by Him in so many beautiful ways. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, avenues of communication. But everything felt by you and everything perceived by you, everything you hear with your ears, everything you see with your eyes and the deductions you make from that is not automatically God's voice. It needs to be tested. And that's what we spent time on the previous 2 weeks. So you can go back to those if you want to. Last week we took it from test number 4 to test number 6. But just for reference, if you are new around here, don't worry. This sermon will stand on its own. But this morning I'm focusing on some of the ways God speaks, but all of the information you perceive can be taken to these tests, beloved, to discern the spirits. All right, to see, when we talk about your complex nature and ability to hear, you should see yourself a little bit as a buffet table. And there's different stimuli that comes your way. What you hear, perceive, fears, dreams. And as we grow in the Lord, we get to organize this buffet table. We get to sense, okay, this here, this cannot be the Lord. Because this seems to be against God's character and His word, and you put that off the table. This here should actually be center of a table with that there. This is what God is saying. And you have the ability to navigate your way through what you hear, through your ears, reading the word, words other people give you, and what the pastors say in church. Amen? Now, if you track the process from hearing to obeying, it looks more or less like this. Revelation, interpretation, application. Now, revelation simply means that something is being perceived. This might be in the morning in your scripture reading. Someone else might give you an encouragement. The worship leader might say something that strikes you. But something comes and draws your attention on this buffet. Oh, what's this? I sense something. Should I take action or not? But then, interpretation, if we can go back 2 slides, is that number 1 to number 6. Revelation gets taken here. And out of the 5 to 8 things that's being revealed to you in this week, of that 5 to 8, 1 or 2 of them comes up as God's word and will for you. And those are the communication or the revelations that you move to the middle of your heart and the rest you push to the side. All right. Some of them are easy. Sometimes you hear stuff and you're immediately anxious and you're worried and you're not, and you read the word of God. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Bah, edipatite. You do not belong on this table here. because you can see it clearly in Scripture. Sometimes it's a little bit more harder. But yeah, that's why there's not one test, but quite a few for you to get an angle on that. Is that okay? Can we move on from this? Please revisit this if you missed the last 2 weeks. I trust it will help. Right. God speaks to the whole man. If we can have that scripture on Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons, your daughters. They shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. These dreams and visions are connected with the arrival of the Holy Spirit to help us. All right? So immediately you see also where I'm going. There's a place for dreams and visions. Acts 2:17, it restates that scripture. It says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters. What the apostle here is doing is telling the people that what they saw here at Acts was that scripture in Joel being fulfilled. We are in that dispensation. Welcome. You are here. Spirit is with us. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God goes to work. It pierces into the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. What we need to know by these last two verses, the only thing I'm trying to illustrate is that you are quite complex in your ability to hear from God. And He uses everything of your created nature to speak with you, even when you sleep. He can speak with you through dreams. Nights. Sleeping time can be a consecrated time to the Lord. It's good for believers not to be awake in the night and asleep in the day. It's good for us to be awake in the day. And the night when we sleep, it is not wasted time. It can be a consecrated time. It's time for your body to rest and replenish, and God can even speak. He instructs us in the night. The psalmist writes of it as well. Now, let's go for it. I'm not claiming these are the only ways He speaks. These are just, what I'm trying to do is to open up avenues of communication in your heart that you might have not been aware of. But once we go through this morning and we read the scriptures together, you might realize, I actually do hear His voice. I just did not think it would happen in this or that way. But He is busy with me. But let's get into it, because I don't have enough time for this morning, so I'm going to have to speed up. Firstly, impressions. Impressions can be divided into impressions in the heart or mind, or emotional impressions. I'll take us to a scripture in a moment, but let me explain it a little bit, then we'll go to the scripture. An impression in your heart or on your mind can be a movement of the Holy Spirit. And how it often works is that you are busy with one thing, which makes sense. Let's say you are at work and you're having your mind on the subject matter you are busy with, whether that is organizing data or speaking to people, and the next moment a thought comes across your life. Wah! And it has nothing to do with what you are busy with here. Okay. You definitely did not lead yourself to that thought, because that thought almost came as a stray thought across what seems to be what your mind should be busy with right now. These impressions should also be tested, because they are not always automatically of God. Let me give you one example. Maybe the men can relate more with this. You are busy with something. The next moment, there's a lust thought. Bah! Where does that come from? You did not plan that. Take it off the table. All right? It's not the Lord. Get rid of it. Sometimes you're in your car, you're taking your children to school, and the next moment you think of an old school friend. What's the chance? Who put that name in your head? What should you do with that? Consider praying. Lord, why am I thinking of this friend? I haven't spoken to them in 20 years. Where does this come from? Think, pray. Maybe God is moving something on your table here. All right? When you talk about emotional impressions, it's often when you feel what God's heart is for a specific person. Because we live so fast-paced, we sometimes just need to look away from pain because we don't know how we're going to handle if we just like feel everyone's pain. But sometimes we carry on with life, and the next moment, I mean, you hear about this person going through a hard time, you hear about that person, and you hear about five or six people going through tough times, but when you hear about this one, you just break out in tears. You're just like, I've got enough. And God uses that. He uses emotions. We see it in Scripture. We see it with Jesus. We see that I put that Scripture on there, or will I just explain? Let me just see. No. Jesus walks to the grave of Lazarus. He just cries. He just sobs with the people. His emotions moves, and he ministers from it. We see Jesus looking at the crowds. He says, and he had compassion on them, because when he saw them, they looked like sheep that went astray. So it broke his heart. And then he ministers. Sometimes our hearts break. And it can be linked to the communication of God, how he feels about that person, about that child, about that marriage, about that father, about whatever the situation. And he gets into your emotion, because remember, he made you. Body, physical and immaterial part. And he's got access to your emotions. But just watch out. Your emotions are also susceptible to the work of the enemy. Fear, anxiety, selfishness. Watch out. So take off the table what is God, and put in the center, or put off what's not God, and put in the center if you experience that it is the Lord. Check this out. We're still on impressions. Let's go to the word. Nehemiah 6, verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Nehemiah and his team is building a wall. This one man comes to mock them, to distract them. He says, at this moment, we're going to get to the audible voice of God. It was not an angel that said, listen, don't trust this man. Okay? It was not, he did not go consult one of the Ten Commandments to bring down a principle. He said, no, I perceived. You know, there's something here that's not right. There's something here that's off. It's the Holy Spirit that's in your ear. I perceived that God had not sent this man, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me. And then what happened is Nehemiah would not listen to him because he was perceptive. It's an impression on the heart. Okay? Are you with me? Oh, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit. His immaterial part responded. He was troubled, and from that place, he responded and he ministered. God can use you in that way with impressions. Very important, because they can be deceptive, because we are emotional beings and we are not the plumb line of truth. It's God and his word. You need to be the steward of your impressions, of your heart, not the other way around. Okay? So what Seven Delon teaches you and your children, is it still on television? I don't know. Don't give yourself away here. But I cannot help it. When I saw that woman, I fell in love. I was a victim to my heart's urge. So now I will consider leaving my wife, because the heart wants what it wants, all right? So my impression leads me. No. You are the steward of your impression. Okay? Because God has given you the ability to go into your heart and unpack it before Him and take off the table. That's not the Lord. Amen? Impressions. Often impressions helps us to take what is clear in the Word and bring it into our world and to apply it. All right, let's go on. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Now, I divided it up a little bit because in Scripture we see it comes in different ways, through different channels. So I'm trying to put some distinction on it. Let's see how we go. Firstly, a still small voice. Now, what makes the voice of the Lord a little bit different than impressions is that where impression is an emotion or a sense or even a name with a concern, the voice of the Lord deals with sentences. You see a sentence, you hear a sentence in your head, instruction that is not, my heart breaks for that person. It's more like, I want you to go and visit that person. All right. So the one might lead to the other, but here we deal with sentences. The voice speaks. Now, firstly, still small voice, soft and gentle. Often when we have decisions to make and we're in the Word and we ask the Lord to help us, we get led by a still small voice. We hear the Lord say, go for it. I'm going to share a little bit out of my own life also this morning. It was quite a difficult decision for my wife and I to leave Cape Town to go to Secunda. We wanted to be 100% sure it's the Lord. There was a lot of stuff going on in our lives. My wife's photography business just skyrocketed. She was doing great in the Western Cape. And if we were going to leave, we wanted to be sure it's the Lord, because we'll never point a finger back to Him. If it's what He wants, then we'll take it, but we want to make sure. And so we were actually to and fro this decision for quite a few weeks. Should we go? Should we stay? Should we go? Then we felt positive. Then we cried. And we were demokar. One day I went, I drove up Table Mountain. You can drive quite a way up. And I just stopped and I took up my Bible and I just said, Lord, I need you to speak with me. And what I did is I told Him I want clarity on this move. And then I just went on to read the Bible, spent time with Him. And I was reading in Psalm 16. And it says, you have a beautiful inheritance for me. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. And I heard the still small voice in my heart. And this is what I heard. Look at Cape Town. And I was on the mountain. And I saw the harbor, saw the waterfront. And I heard in my heart, the Lord says, I want you to go and I'll make Secunda more beautiful than anything you can see here. And that was my word. And I just knew. I heard it in my heart. That was the moment of clarity. Some of the fears were still there. How will this work out? How will that work out? There was still concern. It still cost faith. But I went home and I told Janae, I think the Lord spoke. When I said what I heard, she said, I agree with that. Settled and done. No more to and fro. Once the voice spoke, it was done. It was settled. The internal audible voice of God, it's quite a lot like the still small voice, but it's whereas I was on the mountain asking the Lord to give me clarity on a matter and I hear Him ministering into that area, the internal audible voice is a little bit like an impression, because you're not talking to God about this, you're talking to Him about this thing, but the next moment you hear an instruction, wah! You're like, where did that come from? Now, instead of a person popping into your mind, it's an instruction. You were not thinking of it. You were not praying about it. You were actually working in your relationship with God on one matter. And then, just again, like a line cutting through, you heard His voice about that matter. I had that on two occasions in my life. two occasions. One time, I was just lying on my bed as a second-year student reading a book on the Holy Spirit. I was just enjoying God's presence. The next moment, it was the selection for Haka. Who knows what that is, Haka and Prim and those things. Okay, in the res, it's like the leaders of the res. It's quite a big thing for the courses. It was coming up, but I wasn't thinking of that. I was just reading this book, and I had a stray sentence, the voice of the Lord dropping a sentence on me as clear as day. You must put up your CV and stand for Prim. Done. I heard it like this, and I was frightened because I was only a second year. But it was a clear instruction. I checked it with people. I was a little bit afraid. They said, we can't see a reason why not. That did not come from me. I typed out my CV. I put it on. There was chaos in the courses. This arrogant second year. But I stood up, represented the faith, and I was selected Prim. It's the audible voice of God. It dropped a very clear instruction in a sentence, and I had to obey. There was one more time in my life when this happened. I was in my final year. This is a funny one. So I went out with Janae for 3 years in high school. Okay, my wife. And then we broke up because we came to the Lord, were baptized, and we broke up a toxic relationship. 3 years later, that was my final, so that's 4 years later. I am studying the knee, I remember, as a biokineticist. And I remember it was like reading in tongues. I was just, there was no one to interpret. And I was just fatigued. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know everything in this knee? I'm really tired. And the next moment, I hear it, and I didn't tell her that. You shouldn't do that as well if you're single. But I heard it clearly, clearly. That woman, she is your wife. I'm studying the new year, okay? I'm not thinking of my romantic future. I just want to pass this test and go home. That's it. This thought did not come from me, but I heard it clearly. I didn't say that to her. I went and won her heart. But I knew where I was going immediately. I knew when I approach this girl, I'm going for marriage. I'm not going for dating because I already heard. That was tough, by the way, because I left her after 3 years, her dad was very mad at me, so I had to go back to him. I didn't enjoy that part. He literally introduced himself to me again. He knew me for 3 years. In the home, he's like, Lodi Willemse. I'm like, hello. internal audible voice. Who's heard this before? Yeah. Cool. I just want to say, be aware, everything is not the Lord. You know, people have gone home after work and they've heard this from the enemy. Stop your car, jump off this bridge. Okay? Go to that place. Climb up, jump out the window. You need to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and be in His Word and be surrounded by people that loves you to help you put certain things on the buffet table. They should not go to mouth. They must go to the bin. And part of my heart here is to help us discern. Amen. And then we have the audible voice of God, which is, when do we see that in the New Testament? Jesus' baptism, Mount of Transfiguration, Apostle Paul. Okay, that's when the voice of God is being heard. Here, probably we are dealing with the internal audible voice of God. If we go to Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Boom, clear instruction. Just came to the group fasting, done. God spoke, they probably tested, is that it? Yes, no looking back. And today we have half of a New Testament because of that. Okay, God was heard and obeyed. They put their hand on the man Saul and he started his ministry. but rise and enter the city. Okay, and so here we've got the Apostle Paul on the road to his encounter with the Lord. It says, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So here we have the audible voice of God, and everyone could hear. But only one encountered the Lord, which was Paul. Okay, I've never heard the audible voice of God. There's people here that has heard it before. There's testimony that comes out, especially persecuted countries, prisons, Muslim countries. We hear people say that they heard a voice, they called their name, and they found the Lord. Okay, it still happens. The voice of the Lord. Dreams I've divided into literal dreams, symbolic dreams, and dreams of visitations from Jesus or angels. Now, I had a literal dream once. Now, I'm not a massive dreamer, all right? But when I dream and I remember it very clearly, normally I know I should give attention. Who's like me? You're not big dreamers, but you know, when you dream, it's almost troubling because you're like, this is not normal for me. Who dreams a lot? Where's the dreamers? Yeah, it's a lot of things on that buffet table. We must trust the Lord. What must move to the center and what must go to the bin? Because our dreams can be captured. I had a literal dream of a friend of mine. We were playing rugby. He was one of the rugby players in Secunda, and I was crying in the dream because he dislocated his right knee. But I don't know, it's only a knee, but I was really troubled. I was really troubled. And I contacted Ben. I said, Ben, I dreamt that you dislocate your knee. And it broke my heart. I just thought I'd tell you that. 2 nights later, on the rugby field, whop, knee out, right knee. We look at one another. Everyone says, like, we've been warned of this. We prayed for him. Some of the believers came. We prayed for him, and he was healed right there. He did not continue practice. He walked off that field. We knew. We were warned. We were prepared. That is a literal dream. I don't have many of those. The other night, we had to go across the mountain, took Andres to the airport, and went past a friend and Paul. And the night before, I dreamt that we were driving off the pass. We didn't drive off the pass because I prayed and I told myself, drive carefully today. I took it as a warning and I put it on the table. There's no harm in praying about it. And I was driving with my wife and our young baby, and I took care to drive properly. I don't know. Maybe there was a role in the dream. Symbolic dreams. This is not someone's knee dislocates or someone driving off a mountain. This is the snake eating your dog, and then the cat jumps in the fish pond, and then your child flies over the roof, and you're like, what is that? Now, some of us, we have those. Where are you? Okay. And you know, to take that to the buffet table is like making spaghetti. I mean, it's, you really, really. So often what would happen is a dear Makar droom would land on an impression, peace, or be vigilant, or do not be afraid. God will connect it in a way, but it should be taken to the table and prayed through. Sometimes when God was calling me as a young man, I used to dream I died. I used to dream, I was not saved yet, I used to dream animals would kill me. And I was afraid to die. And every time, in my dream, I would die. I would like, oh, and I would be afraid, you know, that where will I go, where will I be? So I had those when I was younger. And in a way, they actually drew me to the Lord. I looked for God, for peace and safety. From actually these nightmares. So And I just want to tell you, we must help our children because they have those. And we must just be aware what they are open for on the television when they visit other friends. Because when they dream, they can be accessed. And so let's cover our children. Let's help them. Let's talk to them about their nights. And let's protect them. Amen? Okay. Then we have dreams of visitations. I just want to say, on 3.1, it's on my phone. I wanted, if Hendrik was here, I would have played it. 2 years ago, now, my wife and I were not supposed to have children because I cannot do it, the doctor said. 2 years ago, a woman sent us a voice note. Her name is Estelle Wasserfall. Some of you will know her. She said, listen, I just dream about you guys, and I saw you with a little kid and a child, and that must be weird because you're probably done, but I just thought I'd tell you. Bam! My wife got pregnant last year. Now we're saying, we did not plan this, but God did. He knew it, gave her the information. That's a literal dream. What she saw, she said, it happened. So we know when it's tough in the night, God is in it. He's in it. Okay. Dreams of visitations from Jesus and angels. We see it in scripture, so let me just read it. But as he considered these things, Joseph considered divorcing Mary because as you verloofed the swanger rock. It's a weird situation, okay? And that's what happened to her. She conceived of the Spirit. The first human ever to do that. I mean, Joseph, what's the chance? But as he considered these things to divorce her, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, here's a clear word, Joseph, do not fear, take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Again, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, because when he dreamt, again, the Lord visited him in a dream. Again in Matthew 2:13, three times with Joseph. It's not on the screen, I'll read it to you. But when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Right. Happened to Joseph. I'm not going to say anything more on that. It can happen. It's in the word. Visions. All right. Glimpses in the spirit. I've got 5 minutes. 1.5 speed. Let's go. When words are not enough to convey the idea, the heart, the feeling, then often God paints a picture. Some of us are inclined like that. You express yourself better on a canvas than with words. Okay? We are differently made. And so the way you receive information from the Lord can come through that way in which you were creatively made by God. Now, a glimpse in the spirit, a friend, a pastor, were praying one day, and he literally just saw for a moment himself taking a bread and giving it to someone. That's what he saw. Very weird, because in the courses you get food in the canteen. He went out, he obeyed what he saw, thought it was weird, bought a loaf of bread, went back to the res. When he told himself, the first person he sees, he'll just give this piece of bread. Okay, it came from a glimpse that he saw, himself giving a bread to someone. He walks up the stairs, someone comes down, he says, I just wanted to give you this bread. The guy broke down in tears. He said, I was on my way now to take my life. I prayed. I said, if someone gives me a loaf of bread, I know God exists. You can't account for that as a human. That is divine intervention. It's a glimpse. It's a picture. It was seen. At intercession, often someone sees a picture. Sometimes it does not make sense to you, but it does not harm to humbly present it to your friend, and you'd never know what it might mean to them. Because you don't know what they were praying into or what they were going through. Many testimonies of that. Someone just giving a word or a picture that they saw for someone and they thought this is going to sound foolish, and then it's very useful to the one receiving. Because remember, you are only a part of the revelation. You are not the Holy Spirit, so therefore you do not have to understand everything. You only submit what you feel revealed to your heart in humility and allow God in the bigger picture, to bring the paintbrush and fill it in. That's why we are humble with these things. Developing vision, the best one I've heard of is, there was two that I was privileged to see, is when it's not a still picture, but it's when you are praying, it's like this thing develops. Now, Pastor Brown from Shofar Secunda, we're praying one day, and he saw himself riding in a car with the keys of the church and turning into a building through the gate and unlocking the church so that we can have church. The problem is that the piece of land where he was driving to was just a piece of grass. It was not developed yet. 3 years later, Kiro Secunda was built, and we had church in that building, and he head up the setup team. Okay. That's a developing vision. He knew when we went to that principal to ask to rent the place, we knew it was God's will. We prayed into it, we fasted, we already knew. And it actually played out exactly. One time in small group, there was a guy, didn't know anyone in small group. He saw, he was looking at a well, and then the view changed as we prayed, and he saw two of our friends with a little child. They were trying to conceive for many years. So he just said, listen, I was looking at this well, and when I turned around to see who was there, I saw you with a little baby. They cried. Now, 5 years later, they've got two children. Okay. That's a developing vision. It's when the thing moves. Who've seen those? Okay, I've never had those, but they are a reality. Open visions. Your eyes are open, but what happens before you is, it's like God moves a canvas in front of your eyes. Okay, so everyone sees a screen, but suddenly for you or for those that it is given, there's something different there. We see that in scripture as well. Acts 10 verse 10. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance. Okay, and he saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners. And in it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds of the air. And there came a voice, rise, Peter, kill and eat, which was to give the instruction that all food can be enjoyed and eaten without your conscience being broken as a Christian. He was there, and then it happened before him. It was like a trance. Okay. Daniel 10 verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. What a upas, I don't know what that is. You moet upas, what? His body was like beryl and his face like the appearance of lightning. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them. And they fled to hide themselves. Okay, open vision. How God speaks. Prophetic impressions, voice of God, dreams and visions, and everything else that I forgot this morning. You can add to that list. But I hope that this helps to get us going. My heart here is that as you listen to this morning, and you really think about your life, that you would realize he's actually been speaking to you. You are able to hear. You want to hear the voice of God. You want to be like other people that hears his voice. Guess what? You are the other people. You are the other people. But here is the thing. The first test. Those who are grounded in the word of the Lord knows how to organize the buffet table. Those who are not in the word, but sees and experience many of these things filling their table. I watch them closely when they minister to our people, because I doubt in their ability to organize the table. And so with this thing here, I stand here every Sunday to make sure before I give it to someone else. Because it's a way to keep the table sacred at church. All right? To serve you all and the church. It should be like that. be in the Word. Be in the Word so that these avenues of communication can flow. Right. Do you have a heart to minister to others? Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Now, if you can receive all this information on this table and you start to minister to your friends, you are moving in prophecy. You've heard something, felt something, you prayed about it, you present it with humility. What are you doing? You are edifying, you are building up. You are edifying, you are building up. I just want to pray for some people this morning. We really don't have a lot of time, so can we stand up this morning and wrap it up with speed? My heart is for us to have those tables, that buffet table full of food, and being able to organize it very well. And here's what can we go to that last slide, please? What I would love us to do is to pray with you. If you once again want to just commit yourself to minister and serve yourself and others in this way by hearing, discerning whether it's the Lord and serving others, helping others and yourself. So we want to just anoint you, pray for you, not long prayers, and say, Lord, fill my brother or my sister again with your Holy Spirit. Open those pipes of communication in their life that they may hear you. We'd love to minister to you. If you're going through a tough time and you need someone to prophesy over you, this is a morning to do it. So I'm going to count to three. If we can pray with you this morning, if we can activate you, please come to the front. Even if you are a facilitator and you need prayer, we'll get someone to pray with you and then we can pray for one another. But I want a step of faith, action in this place this morning. So I want to count to three, and if we can pray with you, please come to the front with all the faith you have. One, two, three. If that's you, move out. Can I get all the facilitators we can get? And please come and get some oil. It's going to be simple. We're just going to anoint someone and consecrate them to the Spirit and activate you this morning to hear. If you feel your buffet table is dear Makar, come, we want to pray with you. If you have prayed in church for someone before, I want you in front, please. Please come and help us. If you've prayed in church, Dave, come help. If you've prayed in church for someone before, just come and help us. We've got a lot of people in the second service is going to come in. You pray for that brother and your sister and you yield them to the Lord and for their ability to hear. You anoint them, you ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, and you minister to them where they are standing right now. Let's pray. You can go on.